Hello, this is Father Mike Walker of Father Mike's Podcast, Father Mike's Bible Study Podcast, and the Catholic Combine, the pastor of St. Cecilia Catholic Church in Beaverton, Oregon. If you would like more information about the parish or the podcast, please feel free to email me at frmikewalker@gmail.com. And now, today's podcast. So I've had a lot of different college jobs in my past. And I had this job between the last year of college, but before I joined seminary, and I was working at Red Lobster, and I was working real hard to get my claws. You know, if you did really well, you get these lobster claws. So part of it, since I was finishing up on my marketing degree, I thought, I'll try some of these sales techniques. And at one of the tables, I brought a tray of all the desserts, and I came, and there was a whole table of women. And so I started talking about the scrumptious cheesecake and started going through all the different desserts. And so one of the ladies yells out, "Get behind me, Satan!" So I jumped back, and it was just even though I know she was kidding, it was still a hard thing to hear. And later on, I was thinking, like, imagine what it must have been like for St. Peter hearing that from Jesus. That here he just got, to kind of put it into context, last week, we have Jesus saying, "Peter, you are a rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." I mean, this was basically Jesus saying that I'm going to give you the authority to go and be the first pope and to lead the church. And then all of a sudden, just very, very soon after that, that Peter hears what Jesus is saying, but he really doesn't understand, because Jesus just got done telling his disciples that he's going to be delivered over, he's going to be killed, and on the third day he's going to rise. And Peter has no idea how could this be what God wants, and says, "Oh, let nothing like this ever happen to you." And then he hears those harsh words. But we have to remember that sometimes Jesus does speak very strongly, because he's trying to really get a point across. And this is what's going on with St. Peter. Now, we do know, because we are here today, that St. Peter listened to these words and he responded in a way that Jesus was calling him to. Because Jesus was trying to teach Peter that the will of God is what's important. And we don't want to put what we think should be the will of God in front of the actual will of God. And Jesus explained what the will of God was, and so Peter needed to take a step back and discern that. Now, there are a lot of really good lessons for us in this gospel, and I think one thing that we can keep in mind is something that was known from the Old Testament days. In Isaiah 55, Isaiah is saying that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and God's ways are not our ways. In other words, we don't fully understand why God does what he does and why he allows what he does. Sometimes it can seem a little mysterious to us. And there are also going to be times where maybe it'll be after this life that God fully reveals why he did what he did and why he allowed what he allowed. I do remember one time when I was a little kid, I think in third grade, we had our soccer team. And I think we were the Bad News Bears. We never really made a distinction between baseball and soccer at that age. And at the same time, we were playing this other team, and they were the Ducks, you know. And so anyway, the Ducks, they must have been up to some shifty hiring or recruiting techniques, because they're all twice as tall as we were and recruited from throughout the town. And they were ahead of us by about 5-0 or something like that. And I remembered I had this real sincere prayer: "Jesus, let us win. They're all arrogant. And we should win, because that'll be good for them, it'll be good for us, and I promise I'll be a good Catholic if you do this for me." Anyway, I had this great prayer that went along with it, and it was really sincere, and we won. No, actually, we didn't win. We lost. So we ended up losing like 10-0 or something like that. But at the time, I didn't understand. I'm like, you know, "Jesus, I prayed. I've read in the Bible where if you pray sincerely, God grants you what you want." And it didn't happen, so I was kind of confused about that. But it was only later I started thinking about it. Now, what if God just granted us what we thought God would like? And, well, in this case, we not only would have beat the Ducks, but we would have been the first third grade team to take the World Cup, you know, because you don't always understand the way things really are when you're not fully thinking like God thinks. And his ways are different sometimes and a little mysterious. And that's why Jesus even says that. It's like, Peter, you know, you are not thinking like God thinks, but you're thinking like people think, you know, that we can make that mistake. So there's a great incentive for us to take a step back and to consider things that are maybe beyond our understanding. Because very often what God does and what he allows is beyond our understanding. Sometimes we might be suffering through something. You know, Lord, why are you allowing this? You know, well, even if we don't know the answer, God has an answer. Even if we don't understand, God has an answer. So we can sometimes just be humble and give that over to him, especially things that are outside of our control. There's another lesson in this. It's just following God's will. Because sometimes it's something we may in theory like the idea of, but it's not going to be something that we necessarily want to do. And we see a bit of this in Jeremiah. So Jeremiah is often called the reluctant prophet. So God calls him to prophesy, but the people really didn't want to hear it. And when he started prophesying, he ends up being persecuted for it. Actually, at one point, they throw him in a bottom of a dry well that was all mud, and they left him there to die. And you could just see him thinking like, thanks, Lord, I'm so glad I'm doing this for you. You know, so he was suffering through the consequences of following God's will. And in the first reading today, it says, you duped me, you know, because Jeremiah was called and he was so attracted. Now, the translations are just a little different than the literal translation, which would be, you enticed me, you persuaded me. And what this means is that the word of God that God gave Jeremiah was something that was so compelling and so enticing that he couldn't help himself. And that's kind of how it is sometimes. You know, that once we really capture the word of God, that there's something really attractive to that, so much so that we can't let go of it. So even if it might mean that there's some persecution or anything that might come from it, we cling to it. And Jeremiah knew this firsthand. You know, but this is also something that we sometime have to struggle with a little bit. Actually, if you're not really engaged in your Bible reading, you know, this is a great reason why we should do that. Because it has a way to really form us, and it's very attractive and persuasive and compelling. Last week I was with my parents and we were at a concert, Alison Krauss. It was actually a very good concert. But when we got there, we're sitting in this bench kind of thing, and the people next to me, I start talking to them, and while I'm talking to them, I didn't necessarily want to say that I was a priest, because sometimes when you do that, they just kind of freak out and they don't know what to say, they don't know what to do. And so, but I could kind of feel this compulsion, like, just tell them what you do. And so finally I just said, yeah, I'm a priest. I'm a Catholic priest. I'm from Beaverton. And anyway, so it worked out actually where we had some really good conversation. So it gave me the ability to be able to testify to a certain degree about the way God works in the world. And, you know, and so in the end, it was something that I'm glad that I did, even though if in the moment I didn't necessarily want to do it. And I don't know if you've been in that situation. You kind of feel God nudging you. It's like, yes, this is where I want you to go. And you don't necessarily want to go there, but if you give into it because you know that that's what God's want, then in the end, that he has a way of being, you know, bringing blessing out of that. I remember actually one of the discernments I had that was difficult was joining seminary, because I was just finishing up my college. I had my MBA. I was all ready to go out into the workforce. I had this plan in my mind. I was going to, you know, get married, have a good job, and, you know, and I just kind of had everything figured out. But it was just the more I prayed about it, God was leading me in a different direction, and I didn't really want to do it. So for a while there, I was negotiating. It's like, well, Lord, why don't I just join Catholic Charities or Catholic Relief Services, and I could do that, you know, and that's good enough. And then it's just like, but God kept, you know, repeatedly calling me. But even in my first year or two of seminary, that I kept thinking, why am I doing this? You know, it just didn't seem like something that I was, you know, that I should do, even though it felt like God was calling me to. So I was kind of like Jeremiah, a little reluctant, and I didn't think God really knew what he was doing. It was only later, you know, toward the end of seminary, and only after being a priest for a while, that I came to really appreciate, you know, what God called me to, and what a wonderful life it is. It's one of my pet peeves or annoyances when people say things like, oh, you poor thing, you're a priest, you have to suffer, it's so terrible. And I was like, no, it's a great life, I love it. You know, but that doesn't mean it's always easy. It just means that sometimes in life, there are those things that you have to be willing to sacrifice for until you can reach the ultimate goal. And I look at priesthood like that, but it's probably no different than anything else. There are many things that you have to forego the short term or the present feeling of happiness or whatever it is so that you can have the later reward, which is greater than just whatever feeling you might have in the present. I think you all know what I'm getting at, but this is kind of the way it is in life, that if there's never the ability to sacrifice for something greater and you always kind of want to have everything now, then you're going to miss out on what God really wants for you in the fullness of time. And I think that's another one of those lessons, that this whole thing about following the will of God is to really help us so that we will be blessed and others around us will be blessed and God will be glorified. You know, so even if it's some struggle in the present, don't worry about it. If you've really discerned and prayed and responded in faith to what God's calling you to, just, you know, allow him to do what he wants to do in that, even if it's difficult in the beginning. So another point that I think is important in this is that you'll notice that when Peter heard Jesus say this, that he didn't just jump up and say, why are you so mean? I'm out of here. You know, he didn't do that, right? He took a step back and he said, okay, well, Jesus is saying this for a reason. I need to learn something here. And this can be a difficult thing as well. When we sometimes have to say something to people we love that's difficult, and it can be easier just to not say anything, but you kind of know that to be a good friend or to be a good family member, sometimes you have to address what needs to be addressed because you love the person and because of what is good for them. And sometimes it's the other way around. Sometimes family members and good friends will tell us things that we need to hear for our own good because they love us and because of their concern for us. And when those moments happen, we shouldn't just say, well, you're mean, I'm out of here. You know, we should really kind of take a moment to consider what's being said, because sometimes they're speaking for God himself. And I remember one time that I was visiting my aunt, and my aunt never tells anyone to do anything. That she usually just kind of says, do what you want, I don't care. You know, but there was this one time she was kind of laying into me. And anyway, at the time I'm thinking like, why are you telling me this? You know, why are you kind of being so hard on me? And then afterwards I'm thinking, well, if she never tells anyone to do anything and she's telling me now, then that means I should probably pay attention. And it was good because I needed to change some things in my life and she was just being a good aunt. So I think we also can look at that. And maybe just a little thing of advice around this is that if you do find yourself in a place where you're trying to help someone to understand God's will in their life, it's probably best not to say, you should do this or you should do that, because people don't typically want to hear that. What's better is if you have a way to accept ownership over their situation. So what that means is if someone says, you need to do this, and they do it, then maybe they're just doing it because you told them to, but they haven't really owned it. And so what's better is to help them to take responsibility and ownership for their situation so that they can make the right decision, and then going forward, they will have more strength and conviction in that. You know, but nevertheless, St. Peter, the way he handled this is really something that we can learn from. Now, the last thing that I'll mention is just that Jesus was doing Peter a favor. He was trying to help him so that he could be who God called him to be. And ultimately, we know that St. Peter did what God called him to do. And we know that because he became the rock. He became the first pope. He became the beginning of the church and the growth of the church. And it was a blessing for him and the people around him and even for ourselves. You know, so these are the kind of things that we learn. And it doesn't mean that it was easy, and it doesn't mean that it was something that would, you know, be easy in every moment of his life. Actually, he went to his death to follow the Lord's will. But this is something for us to think about and put into practice in our own life of faith. At the very end of that, Jesus explained it. He said, if you want to follow me, then you need to take up your cross and follow me. And then he says, for whoever tries to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, and Mark's version, and for the sake of the gospel, will find it. What would it profit a person to gain the whole world and lose his whole life? You know, so these lessons are intended for us. We can see it lived out in St. Peter, but hopefully we can kind of take those lessons at hand ourselves and then allow the Lord to work in our lives so that his will is done for our benefit and the benefit of others around us and for the glory of God. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. May God bless you and be with you as you live out your faith and serve the Lord this week.